Amen. Now let's turn to that Bible just now as we seek to read in the book of Psalms. And I'm turning today to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. They both belong together, so we're going to take time to read both Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Psalm 42 verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep all calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to our heart. Sometimes in the journey of life, it's hard to see that God is leading us. So many of God's people today are facing difficulties of one kind or another. And in the midst of the circumstances that they find themselves in, they desperately need to be encouraged. For some of them, death has come unexpectedly and snatched away a loved one. And the pain of separation for them has been very, very difficult to bear. For others, a loved one has been going through a time of illness. They're watching on from the sidelines, wanting to help, and not able to do so because their help is of no real use. They just have to be there. And yet they still feel helpless and hopeless because there's little that they can do. For others, there have been pressures and problems with their everyday life. There have been pressures and problems in their family life. And at times some of God's own people have felt at the end of their tether. Because so many of God's people are going through the mill, and almost every day we're all rubbing shoulders with people who are suffering in one way or another. I went over these Sunday mornings through the summer months to give you some texts for troubled times. It's my intention to use some of these encouraging texts from Scripture to encourage your hearts, to lift you above the circumstances that you find yourself in just now, to help us all along the pathway, which at times can be very dark and very difficult for many of us. The problem is in church life that we often come and we often go and we often never break outside our own little circle of friends. And we don't realize that sometimes the very person who sits beside us, in front of us, or behind us is hurting deeply. Yet nobody seems to know. And even if they do, to them, nobody really seems to care. And they're finding the going tough. I turn your thoughts here to Psalm 42 and 43 this morning to give you the cure for a depressed spirit. There are some of God's people very discouraged, some who are so despondent they're almost in the throes of depression, and they feel today like throwing in the towel altogether. I've been there, and I've been with some of you. And I've heard you say, and I have said it before, is it really worth all the hassle? Well, it is. It is, so long as we understand that in the midst of those circumstances, no matter how dark and difficult, and no matter how painful they might be, God is doing something with us. And God may well be doing something through us for the good of others. Maybe not today, but maybe for days that are yet to come. No matter how difficult the journey might be for you at the moment, brother or sister in Christ, remember this, that we have a God on whom we can depend in all the trials of life. That we have a God today who understands us, who strengthens us, and who sustains us, and who comes alongside us when we need him the most to give us the encouragement that we need at that particular time. If you read through Psalm 42 and 43 again, you'll get the picture of the psalmist, and he's downcast, he's discouraged, he may well be utterly depressed. Things have not been going well for him. There are those things that are upon his mind, and they have affected him greatly. Look at him for a moment, and let's begin with the psalmist's dilemma. Three times in these two psalms, the psalmist faces the same question, and then he looks deep within for an answer that's not forthcoming. And he turns around and he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Whatever has happened to this man, it has plunged him into the depth of despair. He's in distress. He's pouring out his heart. It seems as if he's looking at himself in the same way that one would look into a mirror. And no matter how often he looks at himself, he's left in the same confused state. He's looking inwardly. He's looking outwardly. He's asking questions. He's looking up. And God hasn't given him an answer. Why is he down? Why is he in such a dilemma? Very quickly, I note first of all that his plans had been frustrated. Look at what he says in verses 3 and 4. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." A more literal translation says this: I used to go with the multitude to the house of the Lord. The psalmist often looked forward to joining with the pilgrims and making the annual trip there to the temple for worship. It may be that he had eagerly awaited that day when he would join them, but when the day arrived, he wasn't able to go, and that greatly frustrated him. When things didn't work out the way that he wanted them, he just couldn't understand that. And he became frustrated, and frustration led to discouragement, and now in the midst of distress, he's crying out to God, and he can't understand the situation he finds himself in. It might seem simple to some of us, but disappointment for many of us is difficult to take. I know we meet those in the pathway of life when we're down and discouraged, and they'll come along and they'll put an arm around us and they'll say, well, you just got to take it on the chin. Sometimes the very people who tell us that can't take it when it hits them right on the chin. We all get disappointed. And sometimes disappointments are hard to take. Many a young person has been disappointed with their exam results. They've convinced themselves early in life they're a failure of no use to anybody. Sometimes they're not helped much by parents who keep pushing and pushing them too hard and expect too much, instead of letting them be themselves and find out what it is that God wants from them. Many a person has been disappointed when they didn't get the job they applied for. What makes it worse? They've been turned down for one job after another. There doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. I remember one day a man coming to me and saying to me, Pastor, I'm greatly discouraged. I said, why? He said, I have applied for 110 jobs, was interviewed for 4 and got none of them. He says, I'm disappointed. That's understandable. Many a pastor in the ministry has been disappointed when things in the church didn't turn out as he would have liked. Maybe he set himself unachievable goals for his ministry. Maybe he came expecting he was going to build an empire in a short space of time, and he saw little done and he became frustrated and discouraged. Many a man in the ministry has left it. Many a family have returned from the mission field depressed and discouraged because they forgot that this is God's work and not theirs. The thought of failure and unfulfilled plans can drive us to despair. But sometimes when things don't work out, beloved, the way we planned, we ought to remember this, that all things work together for good to them that love God. Sometimes our disappointments are God's appointments for our lives. We don't see it. We don't understand it. But God can use them to bring us into the place of blessing and bring us into that place of sweeter intimacy even with Him. Do you remember Jesus said on one occasion to His disciples, when they were confused and disappointed, He said to them, look, the things I do now you know not, but you shall know hereafter. The only survivor of a shipwreck was a Christian washed up on a remote uninhabited island. He prayed for God to rescue him, but each day as he scanned the horizon, there was no help to be seen. Exhausted, he built a little hut from driftwood just to protect him from the elements, and then one day he went to scavenge for food. He felt he was dying. When he was returning to the hut again, the hut was on fire. And he lost everything. And in frustration and with anger, he lay down and he beat his fists on the sand. And he said, God, why have you done this to me? And in his sobbing, he fell asleep to be awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island that had come to rescue him. And as he was being dragged on board the ship in a helpless state, he said to the sailors, how did you know I was here? Well, the man replied, we saw your smoke signals afar off yesterday.
He lay on the beach. It seemed as if his life had collapsed around him and God had taken disappointment to bring him to the place of safety. God knows what he's doing in your life and mine. Sometimes we just have to learn to trust him. His plans had been frustrated. That was hard to cope with. He was feeling forsaken. Look at what he says in verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He's being taunted by others. He feels forsaken. When he needed God the most, his enemies are taunting him and they're saying to him, well, where is your God? And instead of sleeping peacefully and eating regularly, he tells us he's feeding on his own tears. You see, it seemed to him that everybody had forgotten about his situation. They're getting on with their own lives. They'd left him to himself. He's lonely, forsaken, and fretting. And it seemed to him as if nobody really cares. Beloved, let's be honest. Has there never been a stage in life when we have felt like that? Even though we've been sitting amongst a congregation this size, felt forsaken and lonely and almost forgotten about. Christian and I, when we lived in the area, used to go and visit a young woman who felt like that. She had lost her husband suddenly and very tragically when he was shot dead by the IRA. I was 200 yards away. I heard the shooting, ran to the gate, and I watched the car, the van, speeding up the road, soon to be followed by the police cars. But he was gone. She had brought up two young children who had then grown up and were seldom at home. I asked her how she coped and what had been the worst part of her experience, and this is what she said. She says, John, at times the loneliness is unbearable. Nobody ever makes a track to my door. Yet she belonged to a good evangelical church. She attended all the meetings where possible. And she sat every week with the Lord's people around the Lord's table, and still she felt forsaken. And sadly, beloved, there are many in church life like that. It's possible to be surrounded by people and still be lonely. It's possible to be sitting week after week with those people you refer to as brothers and sisters in Christ, and yet not one of them ever reach out a hand, send a note, invite you to their home. And they just sit and they feel that nobody really cares. Let me say this on a practical note. Sometimes in church life, we surround ourselves with people that we know we're comfortable with. They hold our position. We stay within that little group, and there we're happy to stay, and we never break out of that mold. And as long as we've got a few people around us, we just get on with life, and so what about the rest of them? Well, what about the rest of them? What about those today who have got nobody to laugh with? What about those today sitting in their home who have lost a loved one? They're left all alone. And seldom does anybody make a track to their doorstep. What about those who have no one to share with, no one to talk to? And even though they're sitting here today, and they've sat for many a year, they're saying, no man cares for my soul. You're saying, but Pastor, that's your job. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's all our jobs. That's all our jobs. Don't assume that everybody you meet in this church who sits either beside you, behind you, or in front of you and shakes your hand when they leave the meeting
is doing tremendously well, because it's not true. At one stage or another, we all need just a wee bit of encouragement. His plans had been frustrated. He found that hard to cope with. He was feeling forsaken. It seemed that nobody cared what he was going through. But there's something else here that discouraged him. His life was full of unanswered questions. Read through those two Psalms carefully sometime at your leisure, and you'll see questions appear often. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Why have you forgotten me? Why have you cast me off? Why? And the more he asks the question why, the more it seems that God remains silent. 10 times he asks the question why. Never once does God give him an answer. Sometimes when things don't work out the way we plan, and we don't understand what's happening to us, and it plunges us into the depth of despair, do we not cry out, Lord, why me? Why is it my home, Lord? Why is it my health? Why is it me that's going through this and everybody else seems to be getting on without a care in the world? And sometimes when God doesn't answer us, we react angrily. We blame others, and sometimes we fly off in the face of God himself. But the truth is, beloved, there are some things that we have no answers for. There are some things we just don't have any answers for. And avid people say to me in the course of visitation, Pastor, can you tell me why? And I've said, no, I can't. I can't. But all of us today need to remember this. My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be. Pleasing or painful, dark or bright, at best may seem to thee. Sometimes we just don't understand. We can't change the past any more than we can control the future. So we need to learn to leave everything in the hands of a sovereign God. The psalmist's dilemma. Things hadn't worked out. He got frustrated, falls into the pit of despair. The second thing is the psalmist's deliverance. When you and I are down and discouraged, there are no easy answers to the problems we face. We need to be careful that we don't minimize the problem, or indeed to others offer words of wisdom that make no sense whatsoever and are of no great help. You want to read of people like God? Take a look sometimes at Job. I've heard people say to some in the depth of despair, they need to give themselves a good shake, and unfortunately that's the last thing that they're able to do. How did the psalmist cope? How was he able to deal with all of this? And what really encouraged his heart? Well, we need to grasp something of importance today, and this will really encourage our hearts. It should do. It's what we shared with the children last Sunday morning, that no matter how we feel and no matter what we're facing, God knows what we're going through. Right now, as you and I sit in this meeting, God knows what we're going through, he knows what we're facing, and he knows the way that we take. Of all that the psalmist was facing, there was one thing he never lost. He never lost his hope in God. He never lost his hope in God. He knew that God would overrule for his good. He knew that God would give the victory in this trial of his faith. He knew that God would be with him all the way. He saw light at the end of the tunnel, even though the questions were unanswered, and even though his own plans were not fulfilled, he learned to trust God and left everything with him. He had hope in God. And you and I are in exactly the same boat, aren't we? But no matter how tough it gets, and no matter how dark the night and difficult the day, we dare not lose our hope in God. Now let me tell you two things about the psalmist here. The first is that the presence of the Lord is a reality. In times of difficulty, doubt,
and especially in bouts of depression, we often feel so alone. We can't talk to anyone, and we don't talk to others because we're embarrassed about our state. We cannot share our feelings, we can't share our failures, and certainly our frustrations, because we feel guilty that we're somehow letting the Lord down. What would the people think if I said that? Because they think I'm super spiritual. Well, if they think that, they get to know you, they'll soon change their mind. Because we're all the same, with our faults and our failures, our pitfalls, our discouragements, our bouts of despair and distress. There are not too many of us different. But we don't have to go it alone. And we're never alone, because the Lord is always there with us. The presence of the Lord is a reality. A little boy was very afraid of the dark. His father said to him one night, "Son, go out into that porch and bring in the brush." The young boy was reluctant to go, and he stopped, and then he said, "Dad, I can't go. I'm afraid of the dark." Father said, "Son, don't ever be afraid of the dark." He says, "Jesus is out there." The little boy went to the porch door and reached out his hand and he kicked it open and he said, "Jesus, will you pass me the brush?" You might say the little boy stretching it, and he couldn't understand it. But the point is this, beloved. The presence of the Lord is a reality. When you and I are so overwhelmed that we cannot see through the tears, the Lord is always there. And at those times when we're unable to pray and unable to read and unable to see the way ahead clearly, the Lord is always there. At times he might seem far away, at times it might seem he's out of reach, but in reality he is only a prayer away, and his promise remains forever true: "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Fanny Crosby faced many days of insecurity as a result of her blindness. Many times she took great comfort in the Psalms. If you're familiar with many of her hymns, you'll note she often points to the security that we as Christians have in the Lord. In one of her hymns, this is what she says: "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as the day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand." Do you feel forsaken this morning? Do you feel like throwing in the towel? Have you been pleading and praying, and yet your prayers and your pleadings have been nothing but tears that have streamed down your face? And does it seem that he's so far away? Don't give up. Don't lose hope. There will be light at the end of the tunnel, and standing somewhere you'll find Jesus. The presence of the Lord is a reality. And of course the power of the Lord is a reality, isn't it? When you and I get down and discouraged and sometimes depressed, it never lifts us up, it always brings us down. And it continues to bring us down until we see absolutely no way out. But no matter how far down we get, our help cometh from the Lord. Scriven in that lovely hymn that he penned for his mum more than himself after his fiancée died in the boating accident, he penned this, and it's worth remembering. "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. You say, Pastor, but I can't pray. I'm so far down, I can't do anything. I've had it so hard recently that I just wish at times the Lord would take me home. Pastor, I can't do anything. Well, you can have hope. God cares about you, and God will always care about you. God's with you, and God will always be with you. And however you feel today, and whatever you faced in recent days, and whatever you and I are going to face in coming days, never let go of the promises of God. Never let go of the promises of God. He will fulfill them in the midst of circumstances and in his providence in ways that he leads us, that you and I today just cannot begin to understand. William Cowper, the hymn writer, we're told suffered terribly at times from bouts of depression. The story's told of Cowper that one night he was so far down, he took a carriage from his home and instructed the driver to go to London Bridge. It was Cowper's intention that he jump from that bridge and he would take his own life. It was a foggy night and the carriage drove around and round and round until the driver had to admit to Cowper that he was lost. And Cowper climbed out of the carriage and he said that he would walk the rest of the way. But when he got out of the carriage, he discovered he was outside his own house and that the carriage had been going round and round and round in circles in the midst of the fog. Cowper was moved by that experience, so moved he went in, and in seeing the hand of God in it, he wrote that great hymn. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Can I quote you just a few verses of that in closing today? Listen to this. And especially if you're down in the pit of despair, and like the psalmist, you're crying out today, why, Lord? And he's not giving you yet an answer. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Scratched on the walls of a Nazi prison camp, these words were found. I believe in the sun, even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love, even when it's not expressed. And I believe in God, even when he is silent. The cure for a depressed spirit: hope thou in God. Whatever you're going through this morning, God knows all about you. You're not alone, and you'll never be alone. For he hath said, and that's the important thing, he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Shall we bow together in prayer?
Our Father, as we bow before you, we confess that at times our faith is weak. At times, our Father, such are the troubles that we find ourselves in. We just don't know which way to turn. There are times when genuinely we feel at the end of our tether. And sometimes, our Father, we wonder, does anybody really care? We know that you do. We know, our Father, that you know more about us than we know about ourselves. And we know that we can rest on your promises and draw from your grace. And we can continue to hope in our God. Bless those here in this congregation, those who will listen to the tape, whose lives have been thrown into turmoil, whose homes are passing through dark days, perhaps some individual who needs the touch of God upon them just now. Bless your word to us and encourage us on our pathway home, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.